Tonight we're on page 14. This is message number 7 in this series. If any of you are wondering what the doctrine class in Bible college is like, you've gotten a taste of it. This is exactly what I have put together for teaching Bible college. This is one part of a class that lasted a year when we were doing it two nights a week. But our doctrine class, which is basically a study of systematic theology, and one small part of that is the 7 fundamental doctrines, of which one is the doctrine of baptisms, which includes the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you look at the bottom of page 16, this is going to be my main text here tonight that will be kind of underlying the whole thing. One of the smallest verses in the Bible, it's just 4 words, but it says a mouthful. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Really a command of God. With that in mind, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to have His way tonight. Would you join me? Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for the opportunity to be here in the house of God and to teach and preach Your Word. We ask You for the anointing of Your Spirit, God, that we might teach with clarity. Lord, that the Holy Spirit might be the teacher and not me. We need Your unction, God. We ask that the Word would come to life and this topic, God, would be brought to light here and brought to life, God, as we study this. Lord, we ask You to lead us into a relationship with You and with Your Holy Spirit in which we do not quench Your Spirit nor grieve Your Spirit, but yield and surrender and follow the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. We want to yield to the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit, Lord, and we want to just give way to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. And so, Father, we ask that You would guide us in Your Word here tonight. And, Lord, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. There's a lot of teaching in this tonight and dealing with some things. And so we'll just take our time and go through this. So at the top of page 14, we begin with this topic now. We want to talk about an overemphasis on tongues. Okay, so as we're talking more about tongues, we want to talk about an overemphasis on tongues. And I make this point that Pentecostals have been criticized or accused of placing an overemphasis on tongues. Now, I don't believe we are placing an overemphasis on it at all. I believe we're putting exactly the emphasis the Word of God places. But there are some groups, some Pentecostal or charismatic groups, of which this criticism is valid, and we should then explore this and see why some of our non-Pentecostal brothers and sisters in Christ may be turned off from speaking in tongues or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I think really they have some legitimate reasons, not that it's not of the Lord, but there are abuses and so forth. And so we want to talk about some of that. Now, what we have to really understand is that unfortunately what many people do is they throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because there's abuses in something that God has given doesn't mean we should throw out what God's given. We just should throw out the abuses. So if it was the old days when you had a pan that you gave your baby a bath in, and when you were done, you threw the water out the door to help water the flowers out there, you know, like the Little House on the Prairie days or something, you certainly wouldn't want to throw it out with the baby in it. The water is dirty, but the baby is clean, hopefully, and you want to keep the baby, right? So you don't throw out the baby with the bath water. And we certainly don't want to see people do this, and maybe we could have an opportunity. You know, I'm not only training people for your own lives, but hopefully I'm always training people that are going to train others, right? We're supposed to, maybe not in the realm with all of us of giving a class, having a class or something, but we're all supposed to be taking the Word of God to other people. Now, we're not taking the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the teaching on that to lost souls. It is way above their ability to comprehend, and it will just turn them away. But to Christians and believers, we certainly want to lead them into the deeper things of God, and any one of us could have opportunity to guide another believer into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul in his teaching to Timothy, he said, I want you to teach the Word of God to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Amen. And so the job of the pastor isn't just to be the teacher, it's to teach so that you can teach somebody. Amen. And so that's certainly what I want to do. And somewhere along the line, you will run into folks who may be sincere and may have questions, doubts, whatever, and they want to talk to you. Brother Charles a while back was telling me of a preacher that was asking him about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's Southern Baptist background, but really wanted to know more about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What a blessing if we're well prepared to be able to guide someone into that experience. Amen. So I state this, that with some Pentecostal or charismatic groups, this criticism is valid. In other cases, this criticism is because many non-Pentecostal believers see tongues as only one of many gifts. And so there's no recognition of the prayer language. And so if you can take one of them who's searching through the scriptures and help them to understand that there are two manifestations of tongues, and yes, the spiritual gift of tongues is not for every believer, but the prayer language is, then you have begun to open their eyes to something that God has for them that they probably have been taught for years that God doesn't do. You know, when you've had that teaching in your mind, it's pretty hard sometimes to get beyond that. A case in point is my sister-in-law, Jane. And she was raised in circles where she was taught by no doubt sincere men and women that the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is not for today. And here's the supposed scriptural reasons for that. And we're going to talk about some of these misconceptions, Lord willing, tonight. And so then, you know, she begins to find out differently and begins to seek after the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But you know, that teaching that is deeply ingrained in you is hard to overcome. And so it took her 8 years until she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But just a few months ago, my brother told me that his wife got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it kind of ignited a little spark there in the church where half a dozen others were seeking, and some others were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and so forth. So we want to be able to identify some of these things. So there is some reason for some non-Pentecostals to criticize some Pentecostals, and of course they're going to lump them all together. Usually what non-Pentecostals, I find, do when they're opposed to Pentecostalism, what they usually do is they lump us all together as though we are all part of the United Pentecostal Church, which is a non-Trinitarian organization. They do not believe in the three individual beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are also one. They just believe there is one, and He is Jesus, and He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They also often teach and believe that if you do not speak in tongues, you're not saved. That is a very serious, serious error. Very serious, because now it is putting, because what they will do is say, well, you have to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying until you speak in tongues and then you're saved. Well, it's putting an awful pressure on some people. Think of some of you that are not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you thought that you're not going to heaven until you speak in tongues, and man, this would be really bothering you. And rather than helping you reach out in faith It could really dishearten you and discourage you. And also it would be directing you in a way that is unbiblical and directing you really now to where the obvious conclusion is we're not really saved by grace, but it's in part your works, because not only do they usually teach that you must speak in tongues to be saved, they also teach that you must be water baptized in order to be saved. Now, I believe from Scripture that we must be water baptized, but I do not include the statement in order to be saved. It's because we are saved. And if we're not fully saved until we perform the work of water baptism, we are diminishing the power of the cross and saying that we are saved by grace plus works, and that's very serious error. And that will lead people into a lifestyle where they are constantly trying to do enough to be saved, rather than living in the grace of God and striving to be what God wants them to be by grace, because they are saved. So a lot of times the non-Pentecostal people think that everybody that's Pentecostal is the United Pentecostal, and really that's a small percentage of Pentecostalism, a very small percentage, but they're also a very vocal percentage oftentimes. And many times along with some of that, they're very, very works-oriented. It's also goes into, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're not saved. I have read some of their tracts that actually say that you can never really know that you're saved until you hear the click of the pearly gate behind your heels. And so you're living in a constant state of fear, hoping you're doing enough to make it in. Listen, my faith is not in what I'm doing. If it is, I'm in big trouble. Amen. Because I can never do enough. My faith is in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Can you say amen? He paid it all. He paid the price in full. He did a finished work. And my trust is in Him and in my relationship with Him, not in my own works. Now, if I'm truly walking in fellowship with Him, good works are going to follow. A Christian lifestyle is going to come along as part of my life, and I'm going to be growing in that, amen? But I'm not doing that in order to get saved. I'm doing that by the grace of God because I am saved, and that distinction is very important. It might sound like semantics to you, but it is not semantics. It is the gospel. And when you are saying that you are not really fully saved until you've done enough, you are subtly diminishing the power of the cross and saying that what Christ did is not sufficient. And really, that is serious, serious error. At the very least, you are struggling with insecurity in your relationship with the Lord and lack of assurance that you don't need to struggle with. And at the most, you may be leading others astray, and even yourself wind up losing out because you so put your trust in your own efforts that you're negating the power of the cross. And that's serious. And so the United Pentecostal teaching on a whole, and you can't lump every church together in one, but on a whole, their teaching is pretty seriously off base. And so most non-Pentecostals think that every Pentecostal believes that. So it might be important for you to be able to tell somebody, no, I believe that you are just as saved as I am, and that we are saved by the grace of God, and speaking in tongues is not necessary to go to heaven. However, I believe that we should seek out and desire everything God has for us, and as a Christian, He wants you to have this. Amen? And so you can be able to show them as well from Scripture. So, on to point number three here. In some cases, non-Pentecostals believe that tongues and the gifts of the Spirit ended with the last of the apostles. So when the last of the original apostles died, the last of the 12 and so forth, that was a transitional period, and once they died, the sign gifts came to an end. And so they believe and teach that no longer are the spiritual gifts valid, no longer is there speaking in tongues, that has all been done away with. The only problem is there's no scriptural basis for this assertion. And we're going to look at that very carefully later. Okay? So they think oftentimes that we overemphasize tongues because they think tongues doesn't happen anymore, to simply put it. Amen? God doesn't do that anymore. But there really is no solid scriptural basis whatsoever. And really that idea only comes from experience and trying to interpret the scripture based on your experience rather than desiring to bring your experience up to what the scripture teaches. And I've found that historically, a couple of hundred years after the what we would call the early church, the Book of Acts church, indeed speaking in tongues and many of the gifts of the Spirit started to fade out. And many preachers at that time lamented this happening and never attributed it to the fact that that was what was taught in Scripture. They attributed it to the fact that the church is losing its surrender, its consecration to Christ, and therefore we're losing the power of God. And there were many that continued where they taught a sold-out Christian life. Historically, I've read writings, there are many that continued to minister in the gifts of the Spirit and to see those manifestations. There were others that began to say, well, this is starting to fade, as the church was fading as well and moving away from the Word. And they said, oh, it must be that this is what God intended. It was only for that time. But there's no scripture to truly back that. Now, they try to use scripture. Some sincerely believe they're properly interpreting scripture. And we're going to talk about those things in a little bit. But this is one reason that many non-Pentecostals believe that people who are Pentecostal are overemphasizing tongues. As I mentioned in number four, some Pentecostals believe that one is not saved unless you speak in tongues. And this is, of course, not true. And everybody said, amen. I will someday preach a message on the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and 5 foolish. And there are many who teach that and say, well, the 5 foolish virgins were saved, but they didn't make it in because they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is a completely wrong interpretation of that passage. Okay? And I think sometime when we do a message on that, you'll see that. Maybe I'll do that if the Lord leads at the end of this series. We'll see. All right, so let's go on. Point number 5 here, some charismatics. And you know, there's tended to become in the Pentecostal circle sort of 2 different groups, if you will. The those who continue to use what has always been the more old-fashioned terminology, Pentecostal, and then those who have tended to move away from that. And this is a huge generalization, okay? So I don't want you to think that somebody who says they're charismatic, oh, there's something wrong with them. That's not what I'm saying at all, okay? But generally speaking, the term charismatic is a more recent term and has been applied often to some groups that are really way out there and many times do overemphasize tongues and signs and gifts and put more emphasis on experience than the Word of God. And I think that's a pretty widespread condition in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles today on a whole. There's an awful lot of abuse in the sense of churches that so emphasize feelings and experience and moving and signs that they de-emphasize the Word of God. And you're looking for trouble when you do that. It's not about experience unless that experience is in line with the Scripture. And as many of you probably know by now, I am a very strong doctrinal preacher and teacher. I put great emphasis at striving my hardest to always attempt to properly represent the doctrines of Scripture and to teach those doctrines and to teach the importance of doctrine. That's why we have a Bible college class that if we were doing it as we used to 2 nights a week, last a whole year on the topic of doctrine, because doctrine does matter. And there are some who say, oh, it doesn't matter what your doctrine is as long as you're saved. Well, if you're going to stay saved, you better have sound doctrine because you're going to get off into error if you don't. It definitely matters what your doctrine is. Now, there are some things that we can differ on and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. But there are fundamentals of the faith that you cannot renounce and still truly be a Christian. Such things as the deity of Christ, such things as the sufficiency of the cross, the infallibility of the Word, etc., etc. Now, we can differ on the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and still be brothers and sisters in Christ and still spend eternity in the same place, right? It's not a fundamental doctrine of the faith in the sense that if you don't believe this, then you're going to lose your soul. Okay, that's not the case. However, if you don't believe it, you are missing something that God has for your life that is important, as all things that God has for us are, and you do need it. Amen? So I've also heard, I haven't run into a lot of this, that some charismatics and Pentecostals actually have classes where they teach people to speak in tongues. You cannot have a class to teach people how to speak in tongues. You can have a class like we're having where you're teaching people how to reach out to God and believe God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But any class that purports to teach you how to speak in tongues is not very likely to bring you into the actual experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible said they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They prayed for them, the Spirit came down and filled them and gave them the utterance. They hadn't had a class on it at all. Now, it's always good to have classes on the Word of God and teach the Word of God, right? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's always a good thing and a proper thing and a right thing. But we start having classes to teach you how to speak in tongues. Please set me down and give me a good talking to. Can you say amen? Pastor, what are you doing? You're going off into error. You must be losing the power of God and losing your faith in the Word, and now you're trying to help God. And I want to tell you something. God doesn't need my help. He just needs me to preach His Word, pray about His Word, believe His Word, and He'll do the rest. Can you say amen? So some have classes that teach people to speak in tongues. Others may coax them. I've heard of people, and even saw one time, I don't remember where I was, where I saw a preacher on television, and he's going to lead people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's telling them, just say something, say si-ba-ba, or something like that. So ba-ba-ba, start doing that. And listen, don't start doing anything but what the Holy Spirit moves on you to do. Can you say, man, you don't need somebody coaxing you. And so maybe somebody's on the verge and they enter into the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but somebody else just imitates what someone's telling them to do and they think they got it and they don't, or they're confused or whatever the case. You don't need to coax anybody regarding speaking in tongues. It's all right to encourage them. Hey, let go. I mean, hey, I can see God all over you. Just open your mouth and start praising Him, you know. I'm praying for people to get the Holy Ghost and their mouth is closed and their hands are down. And I'm like, will you please lift your hands up and open your mouth and start praising God, at least in English, and see what God does? You got to give them something to work with here now. Yeah. Amen. But I'm not going to stand there and say, okay, now start saying blah, 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 blah. And maybe you'll get the Holy Ghost. That might sound like I'm getting it when I go, and you'll get the Holy Ghost, right? That's not of the Lord, really. It's not. We don't need to help God. People get in trouble when they try to help God. It's really a lack of faith. Amen? A lack of dependence upon God. Abraham made that mistake one time. Sarai, his wife, said, maybe God's going to bring about the seed that He's promised by means of you taking Hagar as a concubine. My servant here. Servant's not the word. Handmaiden. As a concubine. And so he did what his wife told him to do. And God wasn't looking for help. God didn't need help. God would work a miracle in His timing, not in Sarah and Abraham's timing. Can you say amen? And sometimes the Lord is having us wait on something because He not only wants us to have that something, He wants us to learn how to trust Him and learn how to follow Him and how to wait on Him. And He wants us to come into that place that when He does it, we know that it was God. Can you say amen? I can't tell you how many times the Lord has has encouraged me with the fact that I didn't try to take his work into my hands, but he's never encouraged me with the fact that you tried to help me, and that was great, son. I'm really pleased with that. No, God doesn't need our help. Can you say amen? He does need us to obey him and follow him. There are things we need to do that God instructs us to do, but we don't need to give God help. He's well able to do things on his own. And if he wasn't, then what are we doing following him? Amen? Now, in a group like this that either has classes to speak people to speak in tongues, or they coax people to speak in tongues, it seems to me the emphasis there is getting somebody to speak in tongues, not having something real from God. And if we're emphasizing that all we want to do is hear people speak in tongues, something's wrong, really, with our approach. Our approach is we want people to experience something real from God. Can you say amen? Yes, we know that speaking in tongues is the evidence, the initial physical evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. Yes, we do want people to come into that. And if they've come only to stammering lips, we want them to get free and speak in tongues freely and fluently and really get filled up. But our emphasis is not tongues. That's the evidence, not the emphasis. The emphasis is the Holy Spirit. The emphasis is being filled with God. Amen? And I'll tell you what, I'll take one real blessing from God over 100 pretenses anytime. Can you say amen? Listen, why would we want a pretense when we have the real thing? Well, because it takes time. Well, that's all right. I still want the real thing. Can you say amen to that? And I have to tell advertisers, I don't know if they still say this, but Coke ain't the real thing, brother and sister. Jesus is. Do they still advertise Coke that way? I don't know. They used to. Coke, it's the real thing. Coca-Cola. Well, it isn't. But my Christ and the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's the real thing. Can you say amen? It's the real deal. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise if you believe that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All righty. So, point number C here under number 5, the emphasis when encouraging someone to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more of God. It's not tongues. Amen. Now, some groups also, and this is another reason that sometimes we're rightly, not we, but Pentecostals in general may be rightly criticized for overemphasizing tongues. Some groups seem to imply that you have arrived if you speak in tongues. I never forget, I believe it was in Boston, I was handing out tracts, gospel tracts one time. It may have been Omaha, but I'm pretty sure it was the Boston area. And there was some people getting ready to cross the street, and I said, hey, I'd like to give you a gospel tract. They said, oh, we don't need that. And I said, oh, you don't need that? Are you saved? They said, saved? We're saved and then some. We speak in tongues. And it was like an arrogance that came out. We're saved and then some. We speak in tongues. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just because somebody speaks in tongues doesn't mean they don't have a problem with pride and arrogancy. Amen. It means the Holy Ghost has filled them so you can get that out of their lives. Amen. But the idea that you've arrived because you speak in tongues is foolish. That doesn't mean you've arrived. And I would like to say it this way. The baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is a doorway, not a destination. If I was going into my office and I walked down here and I stopped here or even opened the door and stopped right here and said, oh, man, I'm there now. Oh, this is exciting. You'd say, I thought you were going in your office. Well, I got to the doorway. Isn't that good enough? No, you'd say, Pastor, go on inside. Can you say amen? Preach to me from in there where I don't have to look at your face. But you'd be silly if I stayed in the doorway and thought I had arrived at my destination. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is a doorway. It is not a destination. It's just a doorway into more of God, more of the anointing of God, both for Christian living and especially, I think, for Christian service. Amen. It is a doorway into the realm of the gifts of the Spirit, etc., etc. But it is not a destination. In fact, our destination is heaven. Can you say amen? And we haven't arrived till we get there. And so when groups imply that they have arrived because they speak in tongues, that turns others who don't speak in tongues off, doesn't it? Amen? And so I want to make this point that speaking in tongues does not mean that you're more saved than someone else. Let me tell you, let me explain this. If you don't know this, you cannot get any more saved than saved. You're either saved or you're not. You're either in or you're out. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. Amen? There's no in-betweens. And so you can't get any more saved than saved. So someone that speaks in tongues is not more saved than someone who doesn't. It doesn't mean that you love God more than someone else because you speak in tongues. It doesn't mean that you're more spiritual. We find in the Corinthian church where Paul praised them for gifts of the Spirit and praised them that they spoke in tongues, he still dealt with them that there was an awful lot of carnality in their midst that needed to be overcome. Now, some people have interpreted that the only reason they needed to speak in tongues was because they're carnal. Well, if that's the case, then I know a whole lot of people that need to start speaking in tongues. Amen? Because a lot of folks that are saved are not yet real spiritual. And they need more than just to speak in tongues. They need God to get a hold of them. And that's part of it. But it isn't it. Am I making sense? So it doesn't mean you're more spiritual than someone else because you speak in tongues. Because there was a lot of carnality and division in the Corinthian church. And they certainly had come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fell behind in no spiritual gift. And Paul never criticized them for that. He criticized them and dealt with them about repenting of their carnal ways and going all the way, not just into the doorway, but continuing on in their walk with God. Can you say amen? Doesn't mean that you're more sincere than someone else. Or the reverse is maybe more pertinent here to understand that if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, it doesn't mean that someone else who has loves God more than you do. It doesn't mean that they're any more saved than you are. It doesn't mean that they are necessarily more spiritual than you. And it doesn't mean they're more sincere than you. And so don't let the devil feed you that garbage. We are all on the same plane, lost sinners who have been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, and we're on our way. Can you say amen? And we're all, there's no classes of believers. And so please don't in your mind have classes of believers, whether it's based on the baptism of the Holy Spirit or any other criteria that you have. Amen? Understand that you're either washed in the blood or you're not, and we're all on the same plane, and we got there by the grace of God. And we're all on our way, going deeper with God. Can you say amen? Number 7 here, some charismatic groups have gone into error, as I mentioned earlier, emphasizing experiences and not emphasizing the Word of God. And sadly today, oftentimes you find more sound doctrine of the Word being taught in non-Pentecostal groups. Because it seems like so much of the Pentecostal groups have gone off into experience and so forth. It hadn't always been this way. It shouldn't be this way. It's not an indication there's something wrong with the Pentecostal experience. It's an indication there's something wrong with some of the people that either have it or say they've had it. Maybe some of them were coaxed and some of them were taught. Huh? I don't know, but I want to tell you this, that it shouldn't be that way. Now, that's why I say that I go to great lengths, and many Pentecostal preachers do, go to great lengths to teach God's people sound biblical doctrine. Because that is always the foundation that a spiritual building and a spiritual life must be built upon, is the foundation of the Word of God. Can you say amen? And so there's been many that have gone off into error and so forth. So let's don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Amen? And I make this point here, the bottom of the page, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But a holy, victorious, and fruitful life built on the Word of God is the ongoing evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or I should say of the Holy Spirit's control in your life. Like I said earlier, I'm not interested in just getting in the doorway. I want to continue on the pathway. Can you say amen? And so we need to continue on with God, and we need to live a Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled life. A Spirit-led life, the thing the Holy Spirit's interested in leading you and I into, is a holy life, a godly life. That's a spirit-led life. It's not some tingly feeling telling you to, you know, buy chicken instead of pork, or go to the store at this time instead of that time, or silly things like this. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into solid lives built upon the Word of God. Anybody say amen? Next week we will begin to get into some of the common misconceptions. Many of them are misunderstandings of Scripture. They quote it out of Scripture, but it's a misinterpretation and leads to a lot of erroneous stuff that is some of the things that people have been taught that causes them to put up a resistance against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some teachers, I have heard some of them, I think it's less common today than what maybe it was 30 years ago, but I've heard some of them teach that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Now, how do you get something that God has done and all of a sudden now it's of the devil? Well, it isn't of the devil, it's of the Lord. Does the devil have a counterfeit? Sure he does. Are $100 bills pretend or real? Anybody want to venture a guess? Have you ever held a $100 bill in your hand? I had 11 of them in my hand the other day. It's because I'm wealthy, right? I had 11 $100 bills in my hand. I know that $100 bills are real. Guess what? If you're going to counterfeit things, I've never heard of anybody counterfeiting $90 bills. You know why? Because they don't have $90 bills. Nobody would buy that. You're in Quick Trip, somebody hands you a $90 bill, you're not going to, if you're dumb enough to take that, you'd take anything. I'll give you Monopoly money for my gas. You know that's not real. That's got to be counterfeit because they don't have real $100 bills. People counterfeit the real thing. Amen? And yes, Satan has a counterfeit for speaking in tongues, but it isn't the real thing. And he only counterfeits it because there is a real thing. And I'll tell you what, if you ever hear a demonic counterfeit of speaking in tongues, I think you will know right away. Because you talk about it, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck and like you've run your fingers down a chalkboard. Man, it give you the heebie-jeebies. And I have heard an individual or two who is demon-possessed with a religious spirit, and they're supposedly speaking in tongues, and you can tell right away this is not the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there is a satanic counterfeit for everything that is real. And that's no surprise that Satan would do such a thing. In Satanist groups, they claim to speak in tongues. They even claim to cast out devils. But let me tell you something. Satan doesn't cast out Satan. Amen? And they're simply counterfeiting the real thing, and they're actually getting more bound with devils than they were before they started. But I want to tell you something. The baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is real. And it is not of the devil. It is of the Lord. And the Bible, as we're seeing, is filled with it. Can you say amen? Would you stand to your feet as my musicians come? Let's pray. And Father, we begin tonight with the statement, Lord, quench not the Spirit. And Lord God, though I didn't teach about that scripture very much, Lord, that phrase quench means to extinguish, either intentionally or through neglect. And Lord, we do not want to extinguish the power of the Holy Spirit. And your instruction to us in your word is not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we see in your word that speaking in other tongues as the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as well as that spiritual gift, we see in the Word of God that this is of you. And Lord God, forgive us if we have through neglect or intentionally resisted, closed up to the Lord in any way, God, quenched your Spirit. We don't want to put the fire of God out. We want it to take off, Lord. And God, we tonight choose in our hearts to give Holy Ghost fire the fuel that it needs in order to consume us, and that's us, Lord. God, we choose tonight to give ourselves completely to you, to open wide our hearts and determine within that the last thing we want to do with the Holy Spirit of God, whom we need to control our lives, is to quench him. Lord, we open wide the windows of our soul. If this is your prayer, lift your hands in sweet surrender to the Lord right now. Lord, we open wide the windows of our soul toward heaven. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we determine right here and right now, Lord, not to quench the Spirit of God in any way, but to allow the fire of God to consume the fuel of our hearts and to fill our lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to anoint these musicians, Lord God, tonight. I'd like to have a drummer, by the way, while we're praying. Lord, I ask you to anoint these musicians tonight and anoint us, O God, to worship you tonight. Lord, and come and pour your Spirit out. And Lord, we turn loose of all the stops, all the hesitation and resistance that we possibly could have, Lord, intentionally or unintentionally. And we ask you to simply have your way in our lives. Lord, fill us to overflowing with the Spirit of God, we ask in Jesus' name. Lord, let your Holy Ghost have his way in our lives tonight. And oh God, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Lord, as I'm praying right now, I feel your anointing upon this prayer tonight. I ask you to move in the hearts of your people, Lord. Let us turn loose of everything and let us be filled up tonight with the Holy Ghost. Lord, afresh and anew or for the first time. It doesn't matter, Lord. We don't want to quench your Spirit tonight. Lord, we want to yield ourselves over to you. And if you're moving in us, oh God, to praise you in another tongue, Lord, we want to yield our tongues to the Holy Ghost. Lord, we want you to control every fiber of our being. Lord, every part of our body, because you control our spirit. And Lord, we yield ourselves to you tonight. Hola maso kon malabihi sheke la mohosiki. Hola ma senda la mohosa tala mahate. Loma mo shandi didi bukura behesika la mahate. Lola mo shila mohosendai. Lord, we yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost tonight, asking you to have your way in our midst. Lord, anoint our worship around this altar tonight and in this place. And God, let individuals be filled up with you tonight. And Lord, we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Church, I feel the Lord. I really feel the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him. Let's worship him tonight. Let him stir your heart. Let him fill your life. Let him touch.